curse of Ophala. I'm wrapped in a robe of light, clothed in your glory, that spreads its wings over my soul. May I be worthy. Questions running through my mind, that I don't try to find the reason and the logic in the world that God designed. The reason why a bird was given wings, if not to fly and praise the sky with every song it sings. What's right or wrong, where I belong within the scheme of things. And why have I see and arms that reach, unless you're meant to know there's something more. If not to hunger for the meaning of it all, then tell me what a soul is for. Why have the wings, unless you're meant to fly? And tell me, please, why have a mind, if not to question why? To be that I can dare to have the chance to pick the fruit of every tree, or have my share of every sweet imagined possibility. Just tell me where. Tell me where. If I were only meant to tend the nest, then why does my imagination sail across the mountains and the seas beyond the make-believe of any fairy tale? Why have the thirst, if not to drink the wine? And what a waste to have a taste of things that can't be. Or have my share of every sweet imagined possibility. Just tell me where. Where is it written? Tell me where.
Ladies and gentlemen, your host, Bob Hope.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much. You know, it's Christmas time around the world, and Christmas is merry to all. But this Christmas would be the merriest yet if I could just find a Cabbage Patch doll. We're having a typical Hollywood Christmas out here. Yesterday, Larry Flint announced he has secret tapes of Santa doing weird things with the elves. Christmas is really different for Hollywood children. One kid spends a day with all his former parents, and he's booked up till April. And it isn't Christmas yet, but a star rose again in the East. It was Dudley Moore jumping up to kiss Susan Anton. And people sure have cute ways of letting you know this is the season for giving. Last year, I got a card from my gardener. It said, "Merry Christmas, second notice." Everyone out here has their stockings all hung by the chimney with care, except Dolly Parton. I won't tell you what she hangs every year. But she gets twice as many presents as anyone else. And yesterday I went shopping along Hollywood Boulevard, and they're sure ready for Christmas down there. I've never seen so many fruitcakes. And on Hollywood Boulevard, they're not in the Christmas trees down there. They decorate each other. I can't believe the crowd shopping this year. I was trapped in one store for so long, the only way I could get out of there was to have myself gift-wrapped and mailed home. What mobs? I had an itch and scratched my back, and two ladies from Glendale said, "Thanks." I said to the floor walker, "Why don't you quit following me?" He said, "I can't. You got one leg in my pants." And I saw one girl hanging onto her boyfriend's arm. She was trying to find him so she could give it back to him. And you know, it's Christmas in Washington. Reagan had quite a battle, but the Democrats finally approved it. And Washington is beautiful this time of the year. It's nice for a change to have nature provide the snow job. And aren't you glad Washington doesn't have anything to do with running Christmas? If the government were in charge of Christmas, I don't have to tell you which end of Rudolph would light up. Someone asked President Reagan if he expected that jolly plump man with white hair and rosy cheeks to come down his chimney, and he said, "I don't think Tip O'Neill will fit in there." Hey, one of the biggest movies out right now is Barbara Streisand and Yentl. Barbara's a girl masquerading as a boy who meets a girl. Sounds like a kosher Tootsie. Now, the title's a little confusing to a lot of people. I asked Dean Martin how he liked Yentl. He said, "It's my favorite soup." Now, they tell me it's quite a picture, and Barbara plays a cute, petite little Jewish boy. They had to get her. Sammy Davis was unavailable. Can you imagine Barbara Streisand playing a boy? You can be sure of one thing, there won't be any nude scenes. You remember the old films where boy meets girl? Now they're the same person. But I can't wait for the sequel. Barbara playing Yentl marries Dustin Hoffman playing Tootsie, and they have a child. Boy George. And you know these theaters. You ever been to a movie theater on the Sunset Strip? First you try to figure out the sex of the people on the screen, then you try to do the same with the audience. But the theater where I saw it sure had a strange audience. I couldn't see a thing until I told the guy sitting in front of me to remove his earrings. Then I still had trouble seeing. I should never have worn a hat with a veil. Hey, how about those winter storms that have blasted parts of the country? Everything's covered with snow in the Midwest. It took a snowplow 3 days just to find the Goodyear blimp. And it was flying at the time. I'm not sure how cold it was in some states, but it's the first time I've ever heard of a farmer jump-starting a cow. And And it's so cold in Montana, if you go without your earmuffs for one day, you don't need them anymore. I traveled to Nebraska and got hit with a blizzard, which surprised me. No, it was really cold. I stepped off the plane, took a deep breath, and had to have my nostrils reboard. I threw a snowball back there, and it got bigger in flight. Knocked over 3 trees and a 62 Chevy. I haven't seen so much white since the Osmonds starting cutting teeth. You know it's cold when you see a penguin shopping for thermal underwear. I don't like to work in blizzards, I tell you that. It just looks bad when people come to my show carrying shovels. Now, have you seen all the physical fitness shows on TV? They got more sweating and heavy breathing than 10 episodes of Dynasty. I don't do them. I just watch the pretty girls. That gets my heart started. Now, don't you love that name, aerobics? That's hernia spelled backwards. And all those health nuts running around saying, my body is my temple. I think of my body as a temple, too. I've just been putting in a few more pews. And have you seen Richard Simmons? He's beautiful, isn't he? He looks like what you'd get if Jack LaLanne and Peter Pan had a kid. Well, Victoria Principal has a video cassette out now that shows her doing aerobic exercises. She explains the idea of aerobics is to stimulate your cardiovascular system, and it does. I watched some of her moves, and my cardio ran past my vascular. Then it ran back and they flash danced together. And Howard Cosell has a fitness video coming out. After 8 weeks, you'll be able to lift a 50-pound barbell with your tongue. Thank you very much. Thank you.
After more than 30 years away from the big screen,
even longer,
everyone's favorite mouse is back.
Well, thank you.
In the all-new featurette, Mickey's Christmas Carol.
Humbug.
This holiday, you and your family can share a double dose of Disney magic with Mickey's Christmas Carol and The Rescuers.
Bring her back, boys.
From Walt Disney Pictures, rated G, general audiences.
Yeah, this is Merrill, the trivia man from North Hollywood. I thought I'd give you the answers. The answers to what were the name of the couple in the movie name and the real name were George and Marion Kirby in the movie, but the real name for Cary Grant and Constance Bennett. The movie was made in 1937, and the musical director was Marvin Hatley. He also wrote the Cuckoo Song for Laurel and Hardy. And the producer that had something in common with the kids and the movie was that he produced all of the Little Rascals series. And I thought that would be of interest to you. And his name was Hal Roach, who of course produced the movie Topper. So again, I'd like to wish everybody a Merry Christmas and a very happy holiday. Bye.
The rocket sent to rescue Santa Claus has failed. With sadness, the president speaks.
Holy mackerel!
The Secretary of State has this statement.
My good sister died, reputation shot.
In London, at a meeting of Parliament.
Your Majesty, have you a statement to make on this terrible tragedy?
Goodness gracious!
We take you now to Moscow.
We're here with the Premier of Russia. Comrade, the rocket has failed. What do we do now?
Come on tomorrow night and try it again.
Here is a report from Tokyo.
This is Radio Tokyo. The imperial government has this message.
Ooh la la.
Meanwhile, back on the satellite.
This is John Cameron, Cameron, downtown Sputnik. The satellite men are closing in. We can hear them outside saying,
it's me.
in or else I'll beat down your door.
Santa has just escaped through the chimney, disguised as Elvis. We return you now to Earth.
If you should look up at the sky this Christmas Eve and see a flying saucer pulling 8 reindeer, chances are it's Santa Claus.
Merry Christmas, Earth people.
Hi, Paul. This is David from Sherman Oaks. Last week I saw the movie Scarface, and I have to say it was pretty good. It was better than I thought it was going to be because I was thinking, wow, a 4-hour movie. I wonder what it's going to be like. Well, it wasn't that bad. I mean, it was flawed sometimes, but it was pretty good. Probably the best parts were the first hour, but it kept it going, you know, after the next hour. And with the movie theater I saw it in, there was an intermission, so that was like the first movie I ever seen. We were in intermission after 2 hours. Everybody thought the movie was over, started walking out like an idiot. Well, it was good. I enjoyed it, and it wasn't better than the other movies I saw this Christmas vacation, but it was all right. On a scale from 1 to 5, I gave this movie a 3.
This is Richardson Valley with a slight cold. Saw Scarface. Well, what can I say? Pacino is, of course, great. He is my favorite actor. The first hour or so is extremely well done. And everybody seems to be well in control, and it moves along very nicely. Then the scenes begin to become a bit long. And so it gets bogged down, and the action slows. And then some weird scenes with Pacino sticking his head into a whole pile of cocaine and snorting it are rather extreme. Well, I give it a 8.5 because of Pacino's performance. I recommend that the filmmakers cut the film about 30 minutes. They could have trimmed a lot of the scenes. They just seemed to be too long, and that's what made the movie start to bog down and become very slow. Things weren't as tight. I really wanted to like this movie so badly, that's why I continued to babble on about it, because I like Al Pacino so much. And I do enjoy Brian De Palma's work, but he seemed to lose it. I guess he's used to, you know, 90-minute quickies. And when it comes to something like a 2.5-hour epic, he sort of falls apart, which is too bad, because this could have been one hell of a movie. Well, this has been Richardson Valley, and have a happy new year.
Hi, this is Rose from Sun Valley, and I just got to seeing Never Say Never Again, and I don't know how to say this, but it was good, but it started off really slow, like it was low budget, and I didn't expect that from Sean Connery, you know, comeback for a James Bond type film. But in the end, it turned out pretty good, and there's this one scene where James Bond goes scuba diving or snorkeling with one of his little ladies. It's really exciting, and there were a lot of other good scenes, but I think that's the one with the most suspense. And really left you, you know, crunched up in a ball, thinking, oh my God, what's happening next? I guess that's about it for this week. Thank you.
Hi, this is Jerry Tarzana, and I thought Terms of Endearment, and I'm not going to leave my opinion because it's probably the same as everyone else's. I have a question. I saw it with my mother, and I know that my mother and I both cried. I want to know, Paul and maybe Bob Observatory and Blonde and Muffin, did you guys cry when you saw that movie? I wish I would have seen it with a guy because I wanted to see, like, the guys I go out with, I want to see if they cry. That would have been very interesting. And I also have a question. Is your premiere still going to be on the 20th at that place in North Hollywood, Paul? Because I heard that maybe it's not going to be. So that's all. Have a nice week, everybody, and Happy New Year. Bye.
Gag me with a movie review.
Gang, this is Paul Mack, and you are on the movie line at 761-3330. Brought to you by and for the moviegoers of Southern California. Hey, that's going to do it for this week's 24-minute special Christmas week show. I hope you enjoyed it. And this was brought to you for December 24th, a little early, just in time for Christmas, through the 29th of 1983. Hey, I want you to join us next week when we bring you our 50th tape anniversary special. That's right, we're going to have all kinds of guest stars. So just a reminder to join in next week and listen to us having a heck of a good time down here at the Movie Line for our 50th tape anniversary special, as well as our New Year's tape. Boy, we've got all kinds of things going on. And then coming up in January, around the 17th, it's going to be our first year anniversary here at the Movie Line. So we've got a lot of things going down. And answering Jerry's question there, Jerry, well, I did tear up a little bit over the film, Terms of Endearment. Although I did know how the film was going to turn out, I still enjoyed it. Well, I got a little emotional. I guess all good actors should. And, hey, I saw it with my girlfriend, and I wasn't ashamed to admit it. It was a great film. I loved it. And we've got some announcements here. Okay, as far as Obliteration, my film, yes, I think it's still premiering on January 20th of 1984. We're working on it up until the last minute. We're still shooting it, but, hey, who knows? We might get it finished. You never know. We're having two screenings, and you're all invited to the second screening at 9 p.m., and it's only a $1 donation, and it's going to be held at Howard Johnson's Resort Lodge in the Mission Room, and the address is 4222 Vineland Avenue, and you're all welcome to come and listen to my tape, and I'll be talking to you more about it on future tapes in the next couple of weeks and letting you know what's going on. You'll hear promos and interviews. It's going to be a lot of fun. Remember, that's this January 20th, 1984, Friday at 9 p.m. Okay, and very, very special before we leave here, the Dual Phase Party coming up this Wednesday, December 28th at 8 p.m. Please come down in honor of Dan. In remembrance of Dan, I want you all to come down. It's going to be at Chuck E. Cheese. What a fitting location, right here in Sun Valley, and that's at the corner of Roscoe and Laurel Canyon, and it's going to be in the video room. Once again, the Dual Face Party, 8 p.m. this December 28th at Chuck E. Cheese in Sun Valley. I want you to be there or be square, okay? And it's going to be in a video room. We're going to be playing a film of The Visitant on the big screen there, and you're going to see a lot of fun things, and we're going to have a good time in remembrance of Dan down there, okay? So anyway, thanks for joining us here on our special tape, and I hope you enjoyed it. Next week, we'll get back to format as well as our 50th tape anniversary special. Thanks for calling. This tape will repeat momentarily. Bye-bye.
The Movie Line accepts no responsibility for loss of hearing due to high-fidelity programming broadcast over this line. And don't forget, you can write to the Movie Line, care of P.O. Box 2600, Mount Wilson, California, 91023. And don't forget to leave your movie reviews on the Movie Line, Friday and Saturday, at 761-3330.
Don't go away. This tape will repeat momentarily.